All right, and I'm blessed to get to preach today. Joe's not feeling well, and I'm not just an associate pastor here. I'm also Joe's armor bearer, and I pray for that man constantly. And it seems like every time he gets sick, and it's happened like 3 or 4 times, God has something to say. I'm not saying God's making Joe sick or anything like that. I'm not saying that, Joe. What I am saying is when that happens, when he permits and allows, he utilizes what he wants. Amen? And so I feel like he spoke to me. I've been going through a season. And I was scrolling one day, and I heard this man preaching, and he said, Psalm 23. You read Psalm 23 every day for 23 days in a row, and that word will get down into your heart, it will get into your spirit, and it will change your life forever. And I said, all right, I'm in. So I began to read it every day. And then I'd be at work and I'd try to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by, you know, he leads me to green pastures. See, I'm still not very good at it, but I'm, you know, I began to memorize. And it's true. It began to reform my thinking. And I did just finish a book called Providence by John Piper that was amazing. But it's the bigness of God. It's making God big again where he belongs. And that's really what David does in this psalm. And I challenge the church. If God moves you today, or when he does, read Psalm 23 every day for 23 days. Psalm 23 is easily the most familiar and beloved chapter of all the 150 Psalms. Millions of people have memorized this Psalm. The Psalm has ushered many into eternity peacefully as they take their last breath on this earth. Lord knows we need him, especially in a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Psalm 23 was written by King David prophetically about Christ. For Christians, led by the Holy Spirit through experience and song, David lays out a tapestry of comfort, hope, and salvation that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon quoted Henry Ward Beecher in his commentary of the Psalms, and he called his commentary the Treasury of David. And he says this, quote, "It has charmed more griefs to rest than all of the philosophy of the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are the sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble host of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of the captives of dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner and broken his chains. And like Peter's angel, led him forth in imagination and sung him back to his home again. It has made the dying Christian slave freer than his master and consoled those whom dying he left behind. He left behind mourning, not so much that he was gone, but because they were left behind and could not go." I'm going to read Psalm 23 in its entirety, and then we're going to go scripture by scripture and lay it down. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a powerful, powerful psalm. And you know what I love about this? You know, music and poetry are some of the greatest communicators. Period. And I put a period there. It's simple. You can memorize this. This is doable. This is not hard. This is simple. That's what I love. It's like, may I? No, okay. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is David exclaiming. What a way to start off. Who's your God? Who guides you? Is it Buddha? Is it John Smith? Is it some energy of the universe? Who drives you? What drives you? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's how he starts this. I want to be specific here on who we're singing about. Yahweh, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God. This is the majesty and the greatness of the Creator. And he will be treated and worshiped as such. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. Now, we continue to see the sovereignty and the providence of God with the psalmist here, because he says, he makes me. He makes me. He's in control. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, sheep don't know where green pastures are. Sheep don't know where still waters are. Sheep will literally follow other sheep right off the side of a cliff. They must be led. And the psalmist David, who, by the way, was a shepherd as a boy, he took care of sheep. David knew what it took to take care of sheep. He knew what it took to keep them alive, to keep them well and healthy. The Hebrew word for pastures, and it's plural, by the way, green pastures. Many. Endless. Eternal. Green pastures. That the Hebrew word is pronounced, and I'm probably going to butcher these Hebrew words today, but I'm doing my best. Anyway, it's pronounced Nawa. And it literally means like pasture land abode, dwelling, or a sheepfold. Like a sheep cot, like even a place for the sheep to rest and recline and relax in these green pastures. So it's even more than just the health of the pasture. And you think about green pastures, green, life, growth, plentiful health in every sense of the word. The greenest green too, baby. These are green pastures from God. So it's in the literal sense of life. It's provision. And the still waters, he leads me beside still waters. Sheep will not drink from a raging creek, like a raging river. They're too freaked out. He leads me beside still waters where it's safe. The water's not going to come and sweep me away. I can drink. It's safe. It's good. The water's good. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? I don't know why I just read that, you guys. I skipped forward. I got to go back. Sorry. I turned the page. Sorry. Sorry, Tim. Go back, Tim. John 10:10 is what I meant to say. The thief comes to only kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life. And have it abundantly. He came so that we could have abundant life. John 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So let your heart not be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. So he tells us. And by the way, before we get too deep into this psalm, This psalm is about Christ. Now I'll go in and out as the Spirit leads, you know, between David worshiping his shepherd. But think about it. Jesus came to this earth and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me by green pastures. He makes me lie down and he leads me by still waters. Jesus Christ lived this psalm perfectly. He lived this. He lived the psalm perfectly. He went before us. He says, follow me. David is singing about his God, prophetically talking about Jesus. The still waters represent peace. And Jesus over and over and over again says, look, you guys don't need to trip at all. I have overcome the world that you live in. I overcame it. I lived the perfect life thus by bridging the gap between us and God and removing the threat of death and hell. Sheep do not lay down unless four conditions are secured. Fear, friction, flies, and famine. Sheep will not lay down and rest if they're afraid. They need to be protected. They need to feel protected in order for them to lie down. If there is any hint of an attack, the sheep will not relax. Another thing that, and that's what the Lord takes care of. Another thing that needs to be taken care of by the shepherd is friction amongst the sheep. Preach it, Lord, preach it. The sheep will bother each other and they will cause each other discomfort and aggravate one another. Sheep won't sit down, lay down and rest if they're being aggravated by the other sheep. Flies. Outside, bothersome little hiccups of life. You won't sit down if you're constantly being bothered. You will not relax. The sheep do not relax. And famine. If the sheep are hungry, they're not going to relax. And so, when the psalmist says, he makes me lie down, and some of you, quit resisting that. He says, lie down. And then lie down. We think we're too, you know, but you don't understand. You're not doing it fast enough. Here, let me help. Let me get into my marriage and help you. Oh, Jonesy, please just lie down. Lie down. And still waters is literally the Hebrew words like shalom. Shalom, peace. Now we'll go to verse 3. He restores my soul and he leads me by paths. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he says, he restores. He's the only one that can do this. My soul is restored, repaired, brought back, repented, recovered, renewed, saved. It's literally, he restores my soul is the word is a perfect picture of salvation and regeneration and transformation. It's God saving man. It's God bringing man back to himself. He restores me back to him because before the world was created, you and I were in him. Trip on that. We were already his beloved. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And then he created the world. And then he did this and that and the other thing. And now we're here in this generation. But it goes that far back. And see, we forget that. And that's why it's so bad when you and I cut each other down. You know we're connected, right? We were one in him. So we're still one in him. It's a sin for me to cut you down. I need to help you, bless you, build you. And if I need to give you some truth, I need to do it in love. In a way you'll receive it and go, oh, okay, right? Ultimately. And that's what we're supposed to do for each other. I read you what he said. You need to deny yourself and come after me. That's what this walk is about. You want to lose your life. You will find it in me. But you've got to lay down you to find me, says the Lord. He leads me in paths of righteousness. So he guides me one step at a time, one moment at a time. Providentially providentially he permits what he permits in my and your life, and he holds back what he holds back in yours and my life. Think about that. The sovereign Lord of the universe. Got to remember, the devil's God's devil. Okay? The sovereign Lord of the universe permits what he permits, and he holds back what he holds back, and is all according to his perfect will. All according to him and his glory, to bring his people and reconcile them back to himself for eternity. Ezekiel prophesied about this, and he said in Ezekiel 20 verse 44, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake. Not according to your evil ways, not according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, but for my name's sake." You see, he doesn't do this for me. You know, he doesn't do this so Pastor Chris will finally get, you know, holy enough to be worthy enough to preach behind the pulpit. No. He does this because for his name's sake. He died for you and for me for his name's sake. He said, "My people will be with me. I, and they will be holy, they will be righteous, and they will be pure." Why? Because they've been made pure by the blood of the Lamb. It was me. I did it. I reconciled them back to myself. I lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed. And I took the punishment on the cross, says the Lord. And I took the wrath of the Father upon myself because I knew that you were worth it. Hallelujah. And you were worth it, Jonesy. You were worth it. The resurrected life of Jesus is where we are and where we belong. The Lord is God and I am his servant. Oh, okay, that's where that went. I knew my stuff got mixed up. Oh, look at that. Okay. Yep. Cool. So, every path that you walk is a righteous path if you're in Christ. He leads me. He leads me. I am walking a path of righteousness with Christ because he leads me. And when he does, I enter into a place called verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, this righteous path that I'm on includes a place called the valley of the shadow of death. And for the longest time, I kind of kept these two places separate, a righteous path and the valley of the shadow of death. And what I realized from studying is that the righteous path goes through the valley of death, the valley of the shadow of death. And there is no avoiding this. And even though, the psalmist said, even though I must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because you're with me, Lord. Because you're truly with me. Something as extreme as death, okay? And I don't want to minimize what we're going through here. And if you look at our lives as our walk, I say we're living in the belly of the beast, but the true picture of this is that we live under a shadow of death. What do we have left here? 20, 30, 40, 50 years? 100 years for a human. I'm just being an average. 100 years. Humans used to live for hundreds. And it's whittled down now to like somewhere in 100. Somewhere in there, most of us, our time here is done. That's not that long, people. That's nothing. And so, I know now that you're my shepherd. You're leading me. You're providing for me. And now you've brought me here in the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, Lord. So what do I look to? Because things are happening in the valley. When a shepherd would take the sheep into the valley in Israel, there were these things called wadis where they were like valleys where they're, you know, cliffs and stuff would project a shadow which would make these valleys real dark. And animals and, you know, attacking animals had places to hide. I mean, it's easy. They could hide high and just attack into the valley. So if a sheep wandered off, I mean, you're toast. You're gonna die. And so the psalmist is giving an example of, you've brought me here. God, you have brought me here where the attacks are gonna happen. You've brought me here and the attacks are happening. But I look to your rod and your staff. Your rod and your staff, the taps. The taps from you, Lord. No, Jonesy, over here. It's cool. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. It's just life, buddy. Come on. Your taps. Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. But he never beats us. He beats away the enemy. Believe that. That rod is to beat away your enemies. And the staff is to guide. And I got you. It's all right. I got you. And I was meditating on this like yesterday, and God just dropped this in my spirit. Just, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And it's the revelation of again, why did you bring me to this valley? And the Lord spoke to me and he goes, I bring you to the valley. So when you're attacked, the evil that comes out of you, I don't want you to be afraid of it anymore. I was like, oh, wow. Because I'm afraid of that shame. I'm afraid to look at that shameful, ew, yuck. That's Pastor Chris. He said that. You know, he said it like that. Wow, Pastor Chris. And whatever, Pastor Chris Jones, it don't matter. Put a pass, don't matter. You, me, same. Ew. I brought you to the valley so you could get attacked. And trust me. And when you see the evil come out of you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to own it. Don't be afraid to look at it. Don't be afraid to call it out and go, God, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that again. I own it. I own it. I own it, and it doesn't belong to me anymore. It doesn't belong in this house. You've called me out of this stuff, and you're exposing it to me in the valley. And I'm not going to fear it. I'm not going to fear it anymore. In fact, I take scripture 3, God. And I lay down in your green pastures, or scripture 2, I lay down in your green pastures and I drink from your still waters. I read your word. I know, because the shepherd has done everything he needs to do for you and I when he completed the work on the cross. Now all the curse is broken. Now all the blessing is released. It's our belief systems. It's walking in the inheritance. It is being in the valley of the shadow of death and experiencing green pastures and still waters of health. It is not the valley of the substance of death, okay? Death cannot get us. It can't. Do not be afraid to die. Do not be afraid to die. Especially, well, do not be afraid to die if you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Amen. Do not be afraid. Death has no sting on you. You will not die. Now, even if you don't know Jesus, guess what? You ain't gonna die. You're an eternal being and you're gonna live somewhere, either with or without him. Hell is being absent from God. That is utter hell. That's the absence of goodness, purity, holiness. Trust me, when he's absent, it will be hell. God uses his walking stick to keep order in our lives. Discipline. And he uses it to protect, correct, and direct. The shepherd, the good shepherd in the valley will protect, correct, and direct. You can plant your flag because your adversity isn't in vain. The hard trial you're going through right now is not just for whatever. He's brought you here now so you can trust him, so you can feed off his word, and you can pass through the shadow. Not camp in the substance of death, but walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He tries our faith in adversity. That is where our faith is built. It doesn't take faith to praise God when everything's going good. It takes faith to praise God in your pain, to give him that place. Although I'm crying now, Lord, and I'm in pain, I hold on to your promises that you are true and that eternal life is mine in Christ Jesus. And this life is but a vapor. And the pain that I suffer now does not compare to the glory that awaits us all. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon said this. I'm going to quote him again. Death in its substance has been removed, and only the shadow remains. Someone has said that when there is a shadow, there must be a light. And so there is. Let us rejoice that there is a light beyond. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, not even for a moment. A shadow of a dog cannot bite, and a shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Psalm 37, The psalmist said, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And in the book of Hebrews, it's stated, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. A lot of our adversity in the valley of the shadow of death is dealing with our own evil, people. That's why God revealed that to me yesterday, even in my own life. Yeah, there's attacks for sure, but man, the sanctification that's happening inside of Chris Jones is the battlefield for sure. Amen. Preach it, Jonesy. That's right. It's going on in you too. And so, oh, and by the way, notice how it went from he leads me by, he makes me lie down, to you, for you are with me. It gets personal in the valley. He's not just, you know, God out there. Oh no. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the rubber meets the road. You are going to come to points in your life where you are faced with your belief system. Is it real? Or are you just playing some religious thing? You know, a community gathering, if you will. No. We're here. We're growing together in the Lord, dying to self, learning how to die to ourselves, to learn how to love each other correctly in God. The purpose of life is to enjoy God and enjoy each other. Enjoy the earth, but enjoy Him in it. The main purpose for our lives is to enjoy Him. He loves us. He's delighted by us. Delighted. There's Max. I love you. You're awake. Hi. It's true. He loves you that much. And me. He's a good shepherd. So what does he do? The psalmist David, after, during, in the middle of, whatever, takes us to the harvest. Right? Come on, baby. We don't live in the valley. We're walking through the valley. What's on the other side of the valley? Or the other, on the other side of this adversity that you want me to die to myself, crucify my flesh, and resurrect in your word, Jesus. What is it? Well, we find it in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Now listen to me. You may have situations and even people that you feel like are your enemy here, but they're not. People, places, and things are not your enemy. Flesh and blood is not your enemy. Principalities and powers behind what controls your circumstances and the people behind them, they're your enemies. And they're always present. They're assigned to you, and God's feeding you right in front of them. I've prepared a table. Do you know how much stuff you can put on a table? I wonder what God's table looks like. I wonder what kind of food's on that table. And he says, hey, so he turns from a shepherd to a host. In the adversity in, right in front of all the demons, all the principalities and powers that have been signed to take me out. I'm gonna bless your marriage. I'm gonna bless your business. I'm gonna bless you, Chris, with less of you, more of my word. I'm gonna, as you're obedient to me and you die to yourself, Jonesy, I'm gonna do a miracle in you, buddy. I'm gonna prosper you right in front of the devil. Remember when you used to worship him, Chris? Yeah, I do. I can't believe you would save me. Sorry. Yeah. You know? So. Yeah. Yeah. So he prepares so the Lord becomes a host. Cause he likes to flex. You know, he's God. I got this. It's to him, it's not adversity. To him, it's his plan rolling out delicately, perfectly, exactly the way he ordained it. Just the right speed, too. Not too fast, not too slow. You anoint my head with oil. You know, in Jewish culture, when you would come to somebody's house, you know, especially like I'm having a party, like my son's getting married or something, you come over, man, I'm anointing your head with oil. I'm going to make you smell good and fresh as you come in and wash your feet and just anoint you. But the oil also symbolizes the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit as we sit. As I sit at the table in my life and I dine on the goodness of God and his truths and his promise, as I die to myself and I dine on the truth, it says my cup overflows. My cup. You have a cup and I have a cup. How's your cup doing? Is your cup empty? Because the word of God says it's overflowing with blessing. It's overflowing with the presence, with the promise, with salvation, with healing, with loving, forgiveness. Everything that you need is in Christ Jesus. Overflowing and abundantly. And that's what we draw off of as he exposes our evil in the valley. We will need nutrition. You will need help. There's a reason, like, he's the only doctor that can figure this out, guys. We're talking about deep stuff. No doctor on earth can figure out what's wrong with you. God knows, and it's not what's wrong with you, it's what happened to you. Amen. What happened? God knows. He wants to heal you. It. So whenever it pops up, that evil pops up, call it out. Own it. Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid and shove it down. Blame other people. You know, talk about something else. Forget about it. Own it. Go head first into it and go, God, I don't like this about me anymore. I don't like that. I don't like it when I do that. It doesn't line up with who you say I am. I speak to my family about you, Jesus. I speak to my friends about you, Jesus. I speak to my strangers about you, Jesus. And then I go and do something like this, or I go so and I say something like this, or you know, no, God, that I don't like that. But you know what? I did it. I said it. Change me. And then, so, what's my obligation in that though? To renew my mind. To choose to get into the Word instead of on my phone or turning on the TV. Do you know that your TV is a prophet? preaching to you. Your little phone is too. Preaching to you about the state of your nation, about the state of your condition. How you feeling about that? A little anxiety? Maybe like you don't have enough? Maybe that you're not enough? It's exactly what I hear from it too. That's not the truth. We're talking about the truth today. And that's why I've asked you to read Psalm 23 for 23 days in a row. Because I truly believe even the one that sits out there and goes, I don't really know the word, understand the word. I'm scared of the Bible and it seems difficult with a lot of words. I want you to know that I understand you and I relate to you. I was there too. It's a lie. God will help you understand. This is simple, but mind blowing, right? It's simple, but it's eternal. The table of the experience of life. It's a table full of experience of life and love, provision and healing, truth and goodness, holiness and purity. It's a table that we dine from and we grow from and we definitely prosper from in the things of God. Prospering in the things of God. Can I just be real with you? Prospering in the things of God will change the things in the natural. I'm not going to sit here and preach a prosperity gospel that if you just donate $500 today, that will triple by next week. I'm not saying that. I'm saying whatever you invest in yourself, in learning who God is through his word, through prayer and fellowship, you will reap the harvest. It will take you higher than any amount of money. It will take you deeper and farther than any good break might seem to. I'm talking about God healing marriages that would never be healed otherwise. Healing physical body ailments that wouldn't be healed. Mental issues and such a deep selfishness that to be selfless and actually care about somebody else would be literally impossible without God. Can any of you relate to anything I just said? Yeah. Because that's who we are. We're broken. We come from brokenness. And God is filled with healing and wholeness. And he just says, come, dine, don't trip, relax. I've ordained your steps. And now we're going into the valley. Shh, it's okay. Lie down, drink, rest. Read the word with me. Rest in me. I'll get you through this. And you know what? Evil's going to be exposed in you. Let's deal with that. Let's deal with that. Because then we can go here and over here. Or we can circle back and come around and do this lesson again. God's like, it's cool. I love you. I know how much time it takes. I already ordained it. He ain't in a hurry, but he's always on time. Obedience is the key. Obey the shepherd, the host of the Most High, and you will be blessed. And so he wraps it up. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, that is what a secure statement for a finite human to make about an eternal God and an eternal relationship. What a powerful statement to hang my hat on. Surely God, because of your son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice to me and his love for me to take my place on the cross and pay my payment, that I can now confidently say, humbly, but confidently, surely, your goodness and mercy shall follow me. I can trust that no matter what my eyes see, no matter what my bank account says, you got me. Surely you got me. The Hebrew word for goodness is pronounced tob. Moral goodness, better, best, prosperity, beautiful. The Hebrew word for mercy is also another word for love called hesed. It's an unfailing love, a loyal love, a devoted love, a covenant love. So let me read this again. Surely your goodness, your better, best, your best, most beautiful, prosperous life, and your unfailing, loyal, devoted, covenant love shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All. Not some days. Not all the days except for that one day when you were acting like you know what. No. All of them. Eternally. And we shall live with God forever in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this simple song by a simple shepherd who became a great man of God. And I love him because he wasn't perfect by any means. He killed some guy and slept with his wife. That's not nice. But yet God called him a man after his own heart. Why? Because even when he had it all, he was like, Lord, everything that I have is because of you. Everything that you've kept from me is because of you. And it's all good. And when he was wrong, he repented. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I love you. You've exposed this evil in my heart, and I repent. I turn to you. I do not continue in this, but I continue in you. I'm going to wrap it up with this. And I say this at funerals all the time, but it's true. It's John 14, 1 through 3. Let your hearts not be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? No, he wouldn't have. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. That is a promise from the shepherd. Do not forget that. Do not forget that when you're in the valley. Do not forget that when you're on the mountaintops. Do not forget that when you have a lot. You should be generous, and do not forget that when you have nothing, you should be generous. You belong to God. It's all your belief system. It's all your perception. May I pray for you? Yes. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. Let it be planted in our hearts, God. And in Jesus' name it is, God. This was a word straight from you. I am so encouraged in you, God. Let your church be the same. Let them go out there this week, God, and live like eternal beings that are kept in you, Christ Jesus. Let them see the table. Let them eat. I pray they see the green pastures and still waters, because I know that's where you're leading them. Let all the righteous paths, even the ones that go through the valley of the shadow of death, God, let them be blessed by you, because only you can do it. So I pray your highest and best over all of them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.